Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap. How you guys doing? It is Tuesday, August 7th, here with you on a beautiful Milwaukee day. Hope everybody is doing well. This is brought to you by SnowTap Gaming. What is SnowTap Gaming, you might ask? Well, Nolan Murphy will give you a cheat sheet that you basically, I would say, is gold. Like, he's filled out the running backs. He's working through wide receivers, tight ends. He'll have that hopefully done sooner rather than later. The great thing about Murph's cheat sheet is it basically kind of gives you why this person is higher or lower or why he's down on a guy. It's extremely informative. It helped me a great deal take first place in two fantasy leagues, and I finished in second in another. And I was using Murph's cheat sheet for all of my drafts. That was my entire basis of where I was starting. You know, it's one of those things where I think you underestimate sometimes how much fantasy knowledge you don't know. Like, I don't mean to say that as a dick. Like, we just know, you just don't know enough. Like, there's so much to think about. There's so much to go into. And you just do not have the capacity to keep up with all of it. The good thing is Murph does. And so Murph, this is why you do sign up for SnowTap Gaming. That cheat sheet alone is going to help you win leagues. It's going to make you money. And then throughout the year, we're going to provide you with tips about how to manage your season-long teams and Murph's unique way of handling the waiver wire, which you stay tuned for. We'll also talk about gambling. We'll talk about DFS. Our whole goal is for you guys to just profit in the fall months. Like, have your fall months be the best months ever. Be able to afford those expensive Christmas gifts come December. Like, that is what we are doing. So SnowTap Gaming is what you sign up for. Patreon.com/SnowTap Gaming. If you need the link, we will send you the link. Happy to do it. Excited to have you be a part of it. Join the family today. All right. We're going to be talking about Packers. What would the Packers hard knock storylines be? We're also going to talk about the Urban Meyer situation, just where we're at right now with that, and then go into the latest of the Badger hype train, because I feel like every day the Badger hype train sort of gets going a little bit more and a little bit further along. So you guys know social media, SnowTap WI. I don't need to tell you where you can find us. We're keeping adding more places where you can find our podcasts. Like I said, Spotify, we're still in limbo there, but we're trying to add it to more and more places. Want to make sure that that is there. We added it to CastBox yesterday. If that's somewhere where you guys subscribe, I will be continuing to add it here and there throughout the next few weeks. So subscribe on wherever you will. Tapping the Keg 299 comes out tomorrow. Mitch and I are taping it from the SnowTap offices where I'm taping this podcast today. All right, let's waste no more time. Let's get into the topic. So we have the training camp special Hard Knocks. HBO starts tonight with the Cleveland Browns. I think there is a great deal of excitement for the Browns because it's a unique look in a franchise that had to start over with John Dorsey. Obviously, the Sashi Hive is still alive on social media, and I think it'll drive a lot of people crazy with some of the comments made by John Dorsey. You have Baker Mayfield there. You have Jarvis Landry there, Tyrod Taylor. I think you're going to have a lot of things involved in the Hard Knocks season. I would say expectations are pretty high. Hearing all the dumb, you know, I wouldn't say dumb, but all the ridiculous things that Hugh Jackson may say will be highly entertaining. Hugh Jackson could compete with Jeff Fisher from 2 years ago, the classic, I'm not going fucking 7-9. And then they went 4-12 and may wonder why this guy has a job, just like we did with Dirk Cutter last year. I kind of bailed on Tampa Bay halfway through just because Tampa Bay really wasn't that exciting. There was nothing really to like about Tampa Bay, and the whole, like, let's hype up how good of a guy Jameis Winston was kind of weird. And we all sort of saw it after this offseason where now Jameis has suspended 3 games for basically assaulting an Uber driver. So there you have it. But yes, I am looking forward to it. I think we will never, ever, ever get the Packers on Hard Knocks. But if we did this year, what would the storylines entail? So number one storyline would obviously be Aaron Rodgers' contract. There would be a, you know, hyped up about Aaron Rodgers and his contract and what it all meant. And Aaron Rodgers would probably be the most high-profiled Hard Knocks player since J.J. Watt a few years ago. So the kind of the intricacies of Aaron Rodgers at training camp. I think he would fucking hate it. I actually think Aaron Rodgers would go out of his way to avoid the training camp, the Hard Knocks cameras. He's a very, you know, guy who obviously likes cameras, but he does not, I think, enjoy them at like training camp. He's said it enough about like the meetings before games. Like, it's just not his thing. Like, he's not into it at all. So I think Aaron Rodgers would shy away. I do think there would be storylines about the Davante Adams taking Jordy Nelson's role and losing Jordy Nelson being a big deal. That would definitely be a storyline. You'd also have, obviously, Jake Kumerow, you know, the training camp stories about Kumerow trying to get on the team, the Cole Madison's absence. I don't know if that would make it into to Hard Knocks. I do think, just as an aside, that's an interesting story. I think it actually has a lot to do, and I'm not here to speculate, but if I put two and two together, you know, Tyler Helinski was his teammate. Tyler Helinski committed suicide, for those unfamiliar. Helinski was found to have CTE. I'm sure anyone who was his teammate, anyone who was his partner on the battlefield, it scared the literal shit out of them. I'm sure it did. It's hard not to. I mean, it's CTE is a very serious thing, and I'm sure he's wondering if he wants to continue to play football. I hope he does, but if he doesn't, I fully understand his decision. It's hard not to disagree with him there. Or maybe it's just really affecting him and really affecting him, his ability to get back on the football field. But I do think that would be a storyline in Hard Knocks. I think with Hard Knocks, you sort of open up everything. I think shareholders meeting would have obviously been a thing, and talk about these owners, and you'd get these Packer pinheads on there ranting and raving about God knows what. I'm sure you'd have some dumbass fans talking about the anthem, and that would be just the whole making us look like assholes in the whole process. I think the Packers would actually be you talk about all these different headlines. I mean, these are all stuff to play with week one. I think Clay Matthews being in a contract year would be another one. I don't think Clay Matthews, like Rodgers, would be that fond of the cameras being around, but I do think it would be a thing. I think Mike Daniels would live it up. I think Mike Daniels would be one of your stars. I think so would Jair Alexander, the first round draft pick. They tend to focus on the high draft picks as sort of standout training camp, like getting used to what it's like. Obviously, Baker Mayfield's going to be a huge part of the Browns Hard Knocks. And, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy that the Packers will never be a part of it, but that the storylines will, you know, obviously be around, you know, a Browns team that wasn't good last year but could be very good this year. I know people are discounting Cleveland because it's Cleveland, but as someone pointed out, I think it might have been Mike Clay, was saying that, you know, just because they were bad last year doesn't mean they'll be bad this year. We kind of talked about that actually on the Fantasy Fast Five on Snowtap Gaming about the Denver Broncos. I won't go into it because I want you guys to obviously be a part of Snowtap Gaming. So that's the type of stuff you'll get. But know that, like, last year is not an indicator for this year. It is not apples to apples. It doesn't mean every year this team's going to be bad. You have to look at the pieces around them and what they've built. I think that, yes, did John Dorsey sort of deconstruct a lot of the good things Sashi Brown did? Yes. Did John Dorsey make this team maybe a 6-8 win team, potentially a playoff team in a weak AFC? Yeah, he did. I don't think there would be any surprise. Tyrod Taylor is not a bad quarterback at all. I think he is he's a guy who can lead the team. And I know there'll be a chance for Baker Mayfield, but I think there's a real opportunity. So, yes, I'm excited for the Browns Hard Knocks.
Yes, I would love to have the Packers be part of Hard Knocks. I think the storylines for Green Bay are endless, and I think it would be a really interesting look at what's going on also to a title town. Like, let's not discount that. I think the storylines are endless. I just don't think Mark Murphy will ever allow it. Who knows? Maybe the Packers, to me, have been more commercialized than they ever have been with things like title town and Lambeau Field Live and all these other things. But I think Hard Knocks is a bridge. Like, I don't think they would go to that level. I think that is obviously the last sort of frontier. But I do not think they'd go at that level, at least with Rodgers at quarterback. If Hard Knocks is still a thing when Rodgers leaves the team, maybe the Packers become a focus as sort of life after Aaron Rodgers. Moving on to the Urban Meyer scandal, I guess, if you will. I mean, I think it's a scandal. I don't know. People really haven't. What is it called? It's the Urban Meyer situation. It's not really Urban Meyer Gate. I guess it's just the Urban Meyer scandal. The latest that just came across the headlines were that Courtney Smith's lawyer basically said that Urban Meyer, Ohio State, never contacted us. Urban Meyer threw Gene Smith under the bus, the athletic director. Ohio State has said they're going to wrap up the investigation in 14 days. They said that on Monday, so we should have an answer on August, like that 19th. Let me do my math. All right, it was August 6th, so 7. Yeah, August 20th. I can do math. See, boys and girls, I know what I'm doing. But there was a rally for Urban Meyer outside of the Horseshoe yesterday in Columbus. People called ESPN fake news. Definitely a, what shall we say, a mega focus crowd. Here's what I have to say. I have a lot of thoughts on this. Number one, it's embarrassing. It is an absolute joke. I think that most Ohio State fans cringe at the sight of this, and they know that this is not their fan base. This is not who we are. This is not what we represent. But at the same time, people are going to look at this and say, yeah, this is Ohio State. You guys were the ones who vocally supported Urban Meyer. Just like with Penn State, people will always look at Penn State and think about the rallies that were had for Joe Paterno. Now, those rallies were far more significant than what the Urban Meyer rally was yesterday. The Urban Meyer rally was probably 200 people that were there to support Urban Meyer and to show support. But we have to stop doing this as a society. And I don't know when it will happen. But here is the problem with college football. And I know it spans across sports, but college football in general, we see these coaches, we see these programs like deities. We are so focused on the program and we believe in the program so much over just natural human beings, you know, and Ezekiel Elliott's father was there. Like, talk about a lack of self fucking awareness. Are you kidding me? This guy who has been involved, his son has been involved in his own issues with domestic abuse. You come there to support Urban Meyer? Like, what does that A say about Urban Meyer? And what are things that Zeke did that we don't know about? I just cannot really understand Urban Meyer's sort of groups. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get why people think that it's okay to support a man at this moment. You know, as someone said, it's the worst game day crowd ever. Like, this is not okay. We have to stop looking at coaches this way. We have to treat them like individuals, even if they are the top state employee by pay, and they bring winning and championships to a university that probably 80 to 90% of those people who are protesting didn't get into Ohio State or didn't go to Ohio State. That, to me, is the ironic thing about all of these universities, all these big schools. A lot of the time, these people aren't smart enough to get into these schools. You know, that's the thing with Badger fans. I mean, that's the joke about Badger fans. A lot of the biggest Badger fans went to MATC or UWM. Like, I hate to be rude and crass, but those are the voices you hear the most on Twitter. You don't hear from the alums. The alums are the people who have a little bit of smart because they actually went to school. Some of them are ridiculous. Some of them have just ridiculous things, and there are boosters who went to school and drop bags and whatever. But the people who are the loudest are not always the representative of the alumni of that school, whether it's Ohio State, whether it is Alabama, whether it is Wisconsin, whether it is, I mean, any school, Florida State, I mean, you name it. It is usually the people who didn't go to that school. So I feel bad for rational Buckeye fans. I think there are many of them. I think they've kept their mouth shut, or they've added opinions that are smart. I know Steaks and Stiff Arms, Elka Sadeki, is a good follow, and she's one that I used to follow. I don't follow her anymore, but she had some good opinions about just rational takes regarding the Ohio State, and she's probably the biggest Ohio State fan on Twitter. Her and like Albert Breer, who's also said it's an embarrassment in sort of the media realm, if you will. All right, wrapping it up with the Badger hype train, sticking on college football. Boys and girls, the Badger hype train just continues to sort of chug itself along. I mean, it is getting to I wouldn't say a fever pitch, but I don't know if I remember a Badger season that's had this much hype. And we'll talk about it more getting closer to season. I've teased that before, but okay, so this week alone, we had ESPN ranked Jonathan Taylor as the 7th best player in the nation. TJ Edwards and David Edwards got 43 and 44 respectively. David Edwards, the offensive lineman, TJ Edwards, the middle linebacker. And then today, we saw that the Badgers' offensive line was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. They're one of the four covers. It's five linemen. As someone who is an offensive lineman, I think it is an excellent addition to a room where you watch sports. I will not call it a man cave because I think that is a dumb comment. It is your sports watching den, if you will. I think it's a great cover to have. I think it's one of those where you maybe get the cover, but you save it until the season bears out. Like if the Badgers finish 8-4, it's a massive disappointment, and then it's like, yeah, this cover kind of sucks. Like this cover is a smelly fart. Like it's like farting in an interview when you're wearing tuxedos. You know, it's one of those. Like, but if they win the national championship or they go to the playoff, like then it's a really cool cover to have. And then it's like you maybe pair that cover with a picture of the offensive lineman celebrating with Jonathan Taylor when he scores a touchdown. So yes, the cover is cool. But it's one of those where maybe you have it and you just save it for safekeeping. But I cannot remember a season where the Badger hype is this massive. And I think Badger fans alike are wondering if this team is really that good. And maybe it's because there is that inferiority complex. And we talk about this all the time with other sports, Brewers, Bucks specifically. You know, the Wisconsin fan just doesn't do well with knowing their team's good unless they're playing for the Green Bay Packers. The only time that they are like, my team is dominant, my team can play well, is if the Green Bay Packers are involved. If it's not the Green Bay Packers, they sort of wonder, is this team really that good? I mean, I saw this topic on radio last week. They're like, are we going over our skis with the Badgers? I think that there is obviously a love for Wisconsin, but there is definitely a wait and see sort of attitude. We shall see what happens. There's a few more weeks to go, a few more training camp things to happen. Obviously, injuries could happen. Things could affect it. We are still waiting to see a Badger depth chart. Probably not going to get one of those until the end of August. All right, so we'll be back with Mitch Pratt tomorrow, talking Tapping the Keg. Maybe talk a little Christian Yelich MVP talk. Talk Bucks over under. It's something I saved because I am such a nice guy. I saved the Bucks over under for Mitch and I to talk about. And who knows, I'm sure we'll talk about things we're looking forward to in Packers' first preseason game. My answer may surprise you, and that is a tease. All right, SnowTap Gaming, you guys heard my spiel earlier in the podcast. Sign up today. Those who sign up early, get yourself a t-shirt. If you already have a t-shirt, I'm going to do something fun for you. I don't know what that is, but it is, I can promise you, I'm going to make sure it's worth your while. So please sign up for SnowTap Gaming. I would love you to be a part of it. I think it's going to be really fun. It is a new community of tappers. Be a fantasy tapper today. All right, guys, we'll talk to you tomorrow on Tapping the Keg Podcast. Take care and have a good one. Bye.